We're studying Tanya, chapter 26, Perek Chavov, in the English Tanya on page 114, Daf Lamed Gimel, Amid Aleph. In the beginning of the chapter, the Rebbe established the importance and the necessity to serve God with joy, that sadness that produces laziness and heaviness is not the way in which we can win in a struggle against our Yetzer Hara. Rather, it has to come from agility, from a lightness of the heart, and from the cleansing of the heart of any sadness or worry in the world. Now, from the line beginning the Hinei. The proper and sound advice that is given. By which to cleanse the heart of all sadness and all hint of worry concerning worldly things. And even those worldly things that are essential. We're not talking about indulgence in unnecessary things, but rather sadness that is coming from a lack in those worldly things that are essential to life on earth, and that is children, health, and sustenance, making a living. And these, it says, are the three pillars that the individual's world is based on, just as the world in general is based on three pillars, rests on three pillars, on Torah, Aveda, and Gnilas Chasadim. The same is true also with the individual's life. It rests on three pillars, and they are children, health, and sustenance. So what is the advice? Muda zeis lakoil maimar azal. It is well known, the statement of the sages, of the rabbis, that kishem shemevarich al hateivo, just as we bless God and thank God for good things that happen to us, we also thank God for the bad. And the Gemara explains, what does it mean to thank God for bad things? That doesn't seem to be proper and desirable. It means lekabule b'simcha. It means to accept the bad joyfully, just as we accept with joy and gracefully the good things that happen to us, we are to accept also the bad things. So it's not that we actually thank God for bad things, but that we are as accepting of the bad as we are of that which is visibly good. And why is that? Why is it that we are expected to accept the bad as gracefully as we accept the good? Ki gamzu l'teva. Because this too, this which seems to be bad to us, is really for the good. In other words, behind every negative event, behind every painful experience, there is a positive blessing. There's the silver lining. And in awareness, being conscious of this positive side, by emphasizing and by dwelling on the goodness of it, we take away the pain that comes from the negative part of it. And in that way, we are capable of accepting it gracefully. So this is the advice that we gain from the statement of the sages, that we are to accept gracefully the bad things that happen to us, and the reason is because it too is for the good. In that way, when something bad happens to us, in worldly things, we are able to remove the sadness, or avoid the sadness to begin with, by focusing on the good part, on the hidden good that must exist within that which appears to be bad. But if it is good, why is it that we experience it as being bad? The goodness and the blessing that God is giving us when it comes in the form of a painful experience, that goodness and that blessing is not visible to the human eye. And although the subject of the righteous suffering or the evil in the world and why God creates evil and why he allows evil and so on is a subject that is thoroughly dealt with elsewhere, and this is not what the Alter Rebbe here in Tanya is introducing. This is not a new concept, but the Rebbe adds a few points and a few insights into the general theme that add to the clarity and to the understanding of the bad things that happen to people. The general explanation is that when something happens that appears to us to be bad, we are to know and we are to believe that gam zu l'teiva, that this too is for the good, which means that there is a hidden blessing there and that everything that comes from above is basically good. No evil descends from heaven. And therefore, since this is a physical event and we are not in control of our physical life, of the physical events of our life, therefore it is coming from above. Our freedom of choice is limited to the godliness or lack of godliness that we choose for ourselves, but the physical experiences and success and failure in physical things, this comes from above, and no bad comes from above. Therefore, everything that we experience in the physical realm must be good, even those things that don't seem to be good. The basic explanation is, the simple explanation is, since God is giving us what he considers to be kindness, he's giving us what he considers to be a blessing, and since his understanding and his wisdom is far greater than our own, therefore it is not surprising that there will be things that God will give us out of kindness and out of a desire to bless, and we will perceive it and experience it as being a negative and a painful and a punishment and so on. The example being, when a parent disciplines a child, that discipline is obviously a blessing, a kindness, for the benefit of the child. Only when the child is young and doesn't appreciate and doesn't understand the motivation behind this discipline, to the child, the discipline appears to be a punishment and a negative thing and an act of vengeance and of anger and so on. When he gets a little bit older, he begins to realize and to appreciate the kindness and the blessing that this discipline or this restriction or what he once thought to be a deprivation, he sees what the blessing behind it was and becomes grateful that his parents took care of him and worried for him and did for him those things that as a child he would not have been wise enough to do for himself. So if that's true between a parent and a child, where even the parent is a finite human being, not infinitely higher or greater than the child, not infinitely wiser than the child, but sufficiently wiser. The difference in their degrees of wisdom is sufficient to make the child misunderstand the father's kindness and misinterpret it as a punishment or as an act of cruelty. If this is true between parent and child, how much more so when God is being kind on a divine and infinite level, that kindness certainly will be something that the finite human being will be incapable of appreciating, and to the human being it would appear to be a punishment or a cruel act. That's the general explanation. The Rebbe adds to the basic statement that we don't understand and we don't see the kindness and the blessing, the Rebbe explains why that is, more specifically. The line beginning Venitis. Key, the reason that we don't see, that the mortal eye can't appreciate the kindness that is hidden in that which appears to be unkind, ki hi me alma discasio, because this kindness and this blessing, this goodness, is coming from the concealed world. Shelemailam alma disgalio, which is higher than the revealed world. Shehu, the revealed world, is created and is derived from Vav Ke Mishem Avaya Baruch Hu. It comes from the last two letters of God's name, the Vav and the He, and that creates the revealed world, the Alma Deskasya, but the concealed world, which is higher than the revealed world, Hu Yud Ke, comes from the first two letters of God's name, from the Yud and the higher He. The revealed world is that aspect or that part of God which is made available to the world so that it is understandable to the creation and to the creatures of the world. And this revealed world is basically the expression of the last two letters of God's name, the Vav, and the second, the last He. The Vav being the numerical value of six, the Vav represents the six emotions, corresponding to the 6 days of creation. And the He represents Malchus, which corresponds to the seventh day of creation, to the day of Shabbos. And it also refers to the attribute of divine speech with which God created the world. And so the six emotions and speech are basically revealed and make up the revealed world. And that's why the verse says, "Hanistodes l'Hashem alikeinu," that which is hidden is for God to know, but "V'hanigles lanu v'neinu," that which is revealed is for us and our children. And the word "V'hanigles," when you break it down, it's "Vav hei nigles," that the Vav and the Hei are revealed. The Vav being the six emotions, and the Hei being the speech. Then there is the higher world, the world that is concealed from us because it is so high, and it is derived from the first two letters of God's name, from the Yud and the higher He, which basically represent Chachma and Bina, God's Chachma and Bina. And since God's wisdom is greater than our wisdom, and His thoughts are not our thoughts, therefore the kindness that comes from the concealed world is not understandable and not graspable to the created being as it would be if it were coming from the revealed world, from the emotions or from the speech. And that's why the kindness that God gives that is on His level is something that we as finite mortal human beings cannot understand. Or in different words, that which a person does, a friend does for you, is visible and obvious. Either it's a kindness or it's not a kindness. But the intention, the reason behind the act, the intention behind the act, this is something that is concealed. We don't always know what our friend is thinking. And so, of course, there will be times when someone will say something or do something that we will interpret as being an insult or a slight or an attack, and so on, until we find out that the intention was the exact opposite. The intention behind the act was one of kindness and consideration and concern, and then our whole feeling towards the event changes. Had we known in advance, had we been able to see the intention from the start, then we would have seen the kindness in the act itself. But lacking the insight into the intention, the act itself can be interpreted either way, and we can interpret a good act as being bad. We can interpret an act of kindness as cruelty. So we say that that which comes from the higher world, in other words, that which comes from God's intention, since we can't tell what God's intention is, His intentions are not revealed, we therefore don't appreciate and don't understand the kindness that comes from that level, and we experience it, if we're not careful, as a painful thing, and that can lead us to sadness or to bitterness, and that has to be avoided by remembering that Gam Zulateva, that which comes from God, if it is revealed, it is coming from the revealed world, and if the kindness is concealed, it's because it's coming from an even higher world. And that's what the verse means when it says, happy is the person who is afflicted by Yudke, by Ko, by God. And it uses only the first two letters of God's name, the meaning being that when is the person happy with his affliction, with his pain, with his suffering, if he recognizes that the suffering is coming from the hidden world and therefore is not painful at all, but is an intense blessing. And that's why the sages say, that those who are accepting of their pains, concerning them it says, that those who love God will be rewarded by the sun being taken out of its shield and shining forth in its full strength. Because this joy with which the person accepts those things that seem to be negative and painful, the joy comes, from the fact that he loves the closeness, he desires the closeness to God, more than any pleasures of this world. As it says, that God's kindness, God's closeness, is better than life itself. Therefore, he is happy and accepts those things that others would see as being painful and negative. He accepts them joyfully because he prefers the closeness to God more so than any other physical worldly pleasure. And kirvas Hashem he beyesu milo lein kates balma diskasya. The closeness to God is infinitely deeper and infinitely stronger in the concealed world. Kisham chevyen uze, because there God's true strength is hidden. V'yeshev b'seiser elyein, and the high, in other words, the higher part of God sits in concealment. In other words, the higher part comes through concealment. V'alkein zeichal etzeis Hashemesh b'gvirasi lasid lovin, and that's why the appropriate reward, measure for measure, for the fact that he is accepting this painful thing, he's accepting it gracefully and with joy because he prefers the closeness to God, and the closeness is greater from the concealed world. In the concealed world, that's why the appropriate reward is that in the future, when Mashiach comes, he will experience the sun coming out in its full strength. Shehi yitzi aschama minarteiko, which means the sun being taken out of its sheath, out of its covering. The sun here refers to God's name, Yudke Vavke, and it is concealed, it is hidden in the sheath of Elohim, of the name Elohim. Shehi mechuse beilam hazeh, and during the time of this world, before Mashiach comes, the name Elohim conceals the name Hashem, Havayeh, but la'asid loveh tizgal mikisuyo, but in the future it will be revealed from its covering, dahainu, which means she'oz yizgal la'alma diskasyo, which means that the concealed world will then be revealed. So that which is concealed today will be revealed when Mashiach comes, v'yizrach v'yoyir b'gili rav v'otzum, and it will shine forth and be clearly and brightly revealed. L'kol ha'chesim b'be'elam hazeh, for all those who trust in God during this world when it's concealed and not visible, u'mesteifethim b'tzilei, and those who gather and take refuge in his shade, in his shadow, tzeil ha-chachma shu b'chinas tzeil v'loy eid of v'teva nidiz v'dal, the shadow being the dark part, the concealed part where there is no light, where the goodness is not visible, and therefore can be mistaken and misunderstood as being something negative. Those who trust and take refuge in that part of God in this world will be rewarded with the revelation of the concealed, that which is too high for us to understand in this world, we will then merit to understand in the world to come, because we accepted it as good on faith, even though we couldn't see the goodness. The Tao, and this is sufficient to those for those who understand. And so, concerning sadness that comes from worldly things, and as we said before, this includes also the pain over children and lack of health and lack of sustenance, the way to avoid sadness and to free ourselves of the sadness, should we experience it in the first place, is by recognizing and remembering that Gamzu L'Teva, and therefore to accept that which seems to be a negative experience and a painful experience, to accept it as gratefully and as gracefully as those things that God does for us that we appreciate and can see as being good. And that means to look beneath the surface and to recognize that which meets the eye is not necessarily the truth. We have to bring out and appreciate that which lies beneath the surface, and that is that this painful experience is not only also good, but that in fact it comes from a higher world, and there the closeness to God is even greater. In the Yitzhak Fabringen, the Rebbe said concerning a Yahrzeit, that when something bad happens, we are supposed to react to it not by becoming depressed or becoming saddened, but rather by going out of our way in concern and in consideration and in sympathy of those who have less than we. And we see this in the Yahrzeit that Rebbe said, because even a child notices that when his parents are celebrating a Yahrzeit, they are more sensitive and more understanding and more compassionate than during the rest of the year. And the most visible sign of it is that on a Yahrzeit we give more tzedakah, which means that when we feel a loss, when something happens to us that is deeply painful or exceedingly good, the way a Jew expresses that kind of profound experience is by taking a greater concern, showing greater concern for those who are needy. In the Hayom Yom of Chof Aleph Shvat, the Rebbe quotes as follows: "It is the duty of Chassidisha wives and daughters, may they live and be well, to be in the forefront of every project dedicated to strengthening religion and Yiddishkeit in general, and Taras HaMishpacha in particular. They must organize a movement of Hasidic daughters, of Hasidic women, to strengthen all the Hasidic practices that are involved in upbringing and educating children, as has always been the case in Hasidic homes in the past." The Rebbe mentions here wives and daughters, and in the Tanya that we've learned, the Rebbe talks about the revealed world and the concealed world, the revealed world being the Vav and the last Hay, and the revealed world being the Vav and the last Hay, the concealed world being the Yud and the first Hay. The difference between the first Hay and the second Hay is that the first Hay is called the Mother, which is Bina, Eim HaBonim, and the second Hay is called Malchus, and also referred to as Bas, as daughter. The daughter being in the revealed world, and the mother being the concealed world. And although both the mothers and daughters, it's called Kvuda Bas Melech Pnima, that modesty dictates that a woman be modest and not revealed, yet the Rebbe says that when it comes to Yiddishkeit, women have to be involved, not only as much as the men, but to be in the forefront, as it says at the giving of the Torah, that the Torah was addressed to the women first and then to the men. So when it comes to Yiddishkeit, women have to take an active and visible role, of course, within the limitations of tznius, of modesty. But one of the differences between mothers and daughters is that a mother's here is concealed, is covered, whereas a daughter's here is revealed. Also, concerning the blessing that lies behind the negative, behind that which seems to be painful, is clearly revealed and clearly experienced in Taras HaMishpacha, where separation is not a negative thing and not a destructive thing, but in fact it is a blessing for the couple, for the husband, for the wife, and particularly for the children.